Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vonta. Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vonta automates compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vonta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vonta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get a special offer of $1,000 off at vonta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups podcast. My guest today is Madeleine Lawrence. Madeleine was until recently one of the most colorful and expressive voices in venture capital. Now she has changed the sites and joined the early stage startup Aikido Security to build no bullshit security for developers. Madeleine, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me once again.
Yay, amazing to have you once again. So I already know your story, but for those who don't know, you were born in Philadelphia, then raised in Barcelona, and having been, spending most of your days in Amsterdam and Berlin, and most recently, Ghent, right?
Ghent, exactly. yes, in Belgium.
Awesome, which sounds like hell of a journey. Tell us more about it.
It is. I always make the joke, I'm probably accidentally avoiding taxes somewhere. I'll get a very alarming letter one day. But I'm just collecting my European capitals, or non-capitals, I guess, as I travel around. Ghent is beautiful. I moved here a month or so ago. Absolutely, like, head-to-toe, gorgeous medieval city. Beautiful gastronomic culture, very friendly people, very good beer. And so I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's no Berlin, it's no Amsterdam, it's no Barcelona, but I think for this China chapter in my life, I'm excited to get to know kind of a smaller scale place.
Amazing. I also heard that you have a pretty cool growth hack when it comes to chocolate.
Yeah. If you wanna have the best, taste of the Belgian chocolate scene, just walk into all the chocolate stores and take a free sample. And by the time you get down one main boulevard, you'll probably have a box worth, which is like a solid 30, 40 bucks if you're going up market there.
Awesome. So Madeleine, going from a partner at Peak to the CBO of Aikido Security is a big leap, right? So what sparked this bold move? And how's it going? What's your new role about? And do you guys actually practice Aikido in the office?
On the last topic, it's funny. At every conference, we have like one or two people that are super excited to meet us because they see Aikido and they're like, we practice Aikido. And we're like, we do not, but we appreciate the sport. I think the name came from, like, Willem was speaking with someone who said, if you need a name, do what all the other startups do and just find a Japanese word, like some sort of Japanese martial arts. But interestingly enough, I think we will be kind of working with the Japanese designer and bringing the culture and the heritage closer to our brand. But yeah, the new role, about what's it about? Somebody the other day was like, what's a CBO? Does that stand for chicken, bacon, onion? And I was like, you're hired. I'm keeping the tagline. That's my new branding. But the role of it pretty much is how do we get Aikido as a company known and recognized on the global stage? And what do we need to do in our hiring, in our brand, in our communication to get there?
Nice. So before we talk more about Aikido, let's talk about making rich men richer. Madeleine, what's wrong with VC and how about making women richer?
What's wrong with VC? How much time do you have? It's the real question. I don't want to go on like a rant on the things that I find wrong about venture, but I've always been a strong shall we say, proponent of telling things like they are, calling a spade, whatever you want to say. And I think venture is very, very sugarcoated. Big tweet from one of my friends, Rod, went like pretty viral this week, where I think it starts out with like, VC is such a joke. Speaking about how he's an LP in a fund, they got an update that they had to sell a company for scraps, you know, cents on the euro. And another investor in the same company was on LinkedIn being like, great success for everybody. So proud of this exit. And of course, that's, you know, a very small, shall we say, anecdote that points to the bigger topic of just what's really happening. What's really the product and the purpose of venture? You see these things being celebrated that aren't actually good, and it's hard to know where you stand. And I think that people don't make that easier by always speaking in platitudes and sugarcoating and proud and humbled to announce things, you know. In terms of making women richer, I think it's starting, right? There's a lot more people, particularly at the junior level, that entered the industry, and people will come and go. It is an industry like that. You'll also see more people that are, you know, from early stage companies go into venture. Women are also some of the makeup. I think like early stage startups have a higher proportion of female employees, not necessarily founders, but so there's going to be a lot more talent coming in or moving over to venture, to investment in the future.
Sounds good. Madeline, before we move on from VC, I'm going to ask a few more questions about it.
Of course.
I know that you made a guide to VC in Germany for shoes. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
How did that come about? If it exists, there's a venture capital landscape about it. I don't know if that's a saying or if I made that up, but it's very classic venture marketing. Let's make a landscape. The fund that I was at, Peak, has made landscapes for many, many years. And Johan, our founder at the fund, was like, Madeline, like, where's your German landscape? We gotta put ourselves on the map. You know, where's the German SaaS landscape? And I was like, I will do anything in my power to not do that. So I said, I'm working on something, but I'm keeping it to myself and it'll be a surprise. And then I was like, okay, I have like 24 hours to come up with a landscape. And I had been for the longest time taking pictures of people's shoes at parties and events, because it's just a sea of white sneakers or a sea of brown leather shoes with buckles on them. And and I was like, okay, I know what it's going to be. And so then I sat there and I was like, I found all the iconic shoes, downloaded all of the logos, converted them to transparent, you know, all that waste of time, and launched it. And it was trying to be a little bit satirical, a little bit fun.
Yeah.
And that's the history. It made quite a bang too. There's a lot of funds are like different, like there was like a Spanish version, and there's all different like national versions, which was funny. A lot more heels, say, in Southern Europe.
Sounds good. And you've also mentioned that you die a little inside every time you say ecosystem. Well, what are some of the industry buzzwords or, you know, practices you think need to be retired or rethought?
Ooh, buzzwords?
A lot, huh?
I mean, I say things and my friends that are not tech, not venture, are like, what are you talking about? Like, I will often say adjacent, like, oh, that's this adjacent to that. I'm really interested in this space. That like, everything's a space to you. Everything's a space. Everything's something adjacent to something. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm so deeply ingrained in that venture speak. Or you'll say things like, I hate the double click, you know, or oh, let's zoom in on that. But now people are like, can I double click on that? I don't know if that's just tech or venture specifically, but I hate that buzzword. And then like the classic, like value add, 10X, how can I be helpful? There's a lot of things that have become almost in themselves ironic, which maybe, hey, maybe there's new, you know, hashtag value add. We can reappropriate that and kind of make it be a bit self-deprecating, kind of a humorous critique. But no, I say just a lot of these kind of say like filler words, try like sounding smart without saying anything. Like I'm looking at adjacent opportunities in this space because we think there's a high growth potential for, you know, some contrarian outliers. And I'm like, zero of that made any sense or value to me.
Amazing. Madeline, what's the way forward for VC and what's the role of Gen Z in that?
What's the way forward for VC? I mean, I think that the industry is going through a bit of a reset, which is good. At one point, I was part of like a WhatsApp group in Berlin that was like junior VCs in Berlin, and there was like hundreds of people in it. I'm like, how are there hundreds of junior VCs in Berlin? What does that even mean? Name hundreds of companies that have venture like potential in Berlin. You can't. So I do think the past years there was kind of an oversupply of venture, but also an oversupply of venture capitalists hired or analysts hired. A lot of those are leaving the industry. I see a lot of friends as well leaving. So I think we'll see a reset. Funds are probably going to be shutting down. A lot of them becoming ghost funds or not raising. But we will absolutely see venture become more binary, meaning that the big outcomes will become bigger. You know, now we're shooting for 10x returns in 10 years. Maybe we can shoot for 20x returns in 10 years or 10x returns in 5 years. So I do think speed and scale of the outliers will increase significantly and make venture a continuously interesting, dynamic asset class. Now I sound like a venture capitalist. And I think that we'll see a lot of the funds that, you know, are reaching maybe their third fund. They don't have the returns to show for it, but maybe they're making a 2 or a 3x or not at all. Maybe they'll be transferring more into like private equity or buyout or leaving the venture market altogether. But yeah, venture will continue. It will polarize. The big will get bigger. The small will get smaller, more collaborative because you can't compete. And the outcomes as well will become more, I think, null, maybe like 1 or 2 or 3x, people might chase those, or, you know, significantly outsized and very fast. And what's the role of Gen Z in that? I don't know. I mean, I'm Gen Z, I'm 27 years old, right? If anything, we're not the more interesting segment. I would probably look more towards Gen Alpha and the new kids on the block. I think we'll also see, I mean, one of the biggest generational transfers of wealth is upon us with the aging baby boomer population that control a lot of the capital and assets, liquid and illiquid, in most countries. And people are in their 70s, 80s, and that's all going to transfer to the older segment of millennials. And so we're going to see huge upheaval in control, in the history of control, and also just in the capital flows. So I think Gen Z is not the most interesting right now. I think I would more look at Gen Alpha for what's new, or to that really great generational transfer of wealth, which is definitely a topic that I rant about when I'm drunk, because you can tell I've said generational transfer of wealth so many times because I think it's so interesting. But yeah.
Awesome. Madeline, to actually Aikido's no bullshit approach to security for devs, it seems like a breath of fresh air to you now after all the VC world that you were engaged with. So how do you actually keep things, you know, straightforward and effective without the usual industry jargon at your work? And like, how does this philosophy influence the company culture and the way you interact with clients and developers?
So actually the idea of using no bullshit was probably one of the things I introduced right when I was joining, we were announcing the Series A raise, because I'm like, our boilerplate, our one-liner is not great. Like, it's one central place to centralize all of your security scanners from code to cloud. I'm like, you, that describes what you are, but like, I don't remember what you're doing. Like, give me the oomph. And I remember we were doing an interview with Mike Butcher from TechCrunch, who covered our funding. And Willem, our CTO and CEO, founder of the company, he has this very real way of speaking about it, because this is his fifth company. He's used all the security tools before. And he's like, they make you feel stupid. Feels like you're inside of a cockpit control room. like you read it, but you don't understand what the alerts are, and it's just bullshit. And I, you know, developers just want to get back to building fun features. And I remember like sitting on the line, I was interviewed, being like, that's some language. And you know what? That's great. And so we went kind of through all of our materials for the press release and how we speak about ourselves. And there's a lot more to come. And I pretty much was just like, what would Willem say? You know, like think about it from that, because, you know, it was his experience as a very frustrated developer, as a CTO, you know, needing to sell to enterprise, needing to get certified as an HR company. And he's just like, it was bullshit. It wasted our time. Engineers didn't want to check any of the alerts. And like, we just need, like, security doesn't have to be like this. And I was just sitting there being like, that's exactly how we need to speak as a company. And of course, we need to be taken seriously by bigger companies. But I think what we need to do is really resonate with developers. So how are we going to do that? We're going to use the real, you know, word to mouth words of a frustrated developer. And that's going to be our ethos, which is, hey, it's similar to like how I approached venture and speaking about venture. I'm like, sure, it could be backing the frontier founders, or it's our product is returns. We're going to 10x for RLPs. You know, call it like it is. And that resonates with people because you're like, oh, finally, I get what you mean. Or, oh, yeah, I agree with your kind of like implicit criticism. And also, like, I trust that you have, you know, a different way to approach this just by how you say it and talk about it alone.
Awesome. So you're used to, Madeline, you're used to founders pitching to you. So now you switch roles and you're on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. If you were about to pitch Aikido to investors or to customers, what would your elevator pitch sound like?
For devs, just use it. For our customers, it's mostly developers, right? And then we actually want to be anti-sales. So the pitch is more like, we give you everything you need without the bullshit and just try it for yourself. All of our leads at the moment in business comes inbound. So I think the elevator pitch of, you know, here's what it is, try it. And if you like it, buy it. You don't have to speak to sales. We can be anti-sales. It does resonate. And for investors, well, we just raised 25 million. So I'll actually leave them curious for more, and we'll start pitching maybe in a year or so.
Nice. So speaking about the 25 million euros raised, what are the key areas this funding will be, you know, directed towards, and what exciting developments can we expect to see from Aikido in the near future?
Almost all will come. Exciting developments are many. A lot of the capital will be spent on building the team. I think we have that we would double our team by the end of the year. I'm not sure if that's necessary, if we can maybe focus a bit more on productivity and output per head, more efficiency. We're actively recruiting for 15 roles at the moment, mostly technical. We just launched an awesome new product, which is kind of separate from our core product, we think can be as big, say, open core firewall of sorts, kind of a web application firewall. We're building a whole dedicated tech and go-to-market team around that. So yeah, it's cybersecurity, we're not innovating like how to do cybersecurity. There's a way to do it that's broken. So we know the way to do it, and we're just fixing it. So it's very clear in terms of, we need to cover this level of vulnerability, this type of scanning, this type of compliance framework. It's very clear cut, and like, we need to be able to provide a product that does all of this with an incredibly new, fresh, developer-loved experience. So it's just, this is the market. This is the roadmap. This is where we need for feature parity. This is how we can differentiate, get the team to build it, and be able to sell it at scale. So team and product investment.
Sounds good, sounds exciting. And speaking of exciting projects, it seems like you have a lot of them currently going on. But maybe to end it off, tell us maybe more, what you've got going on? Any new projects or initiatives that you're really excited about, either within Aikido or the next web or outside of it?
I mean, my focus is definitely on Aikido, and it's definitely not it's not a 9-to-5 gig, that's for sure. In the spare time that I do have, I'm actually building with, his name is Aaron. He's one of the writers of the Product Hunt newsletter. Actually, he is the writer of the Product Hunt newsletter. And I've never met him in person, but we became kind of pals over Twitter. He's got a very cutting humor. And yeah, I guess, I don't know what happened, but he was posting all these like cheap European homes. In terms of cheap European homes, I mean like a 50K dilapidated house in some Sicilian village that needs to be restored, and was getting crazy viral on Twitter. And then we were chatting and we're like, hey, let's build initially a newsletter, but then something also bigger around that. And then we launched Out of Town, still new. Here, I'll send you the link. Then we launched Out of Town. So right now it's a newsletter. We're reaching like 2,000 subscribers. We're about 5 weeks old. And then every Tuesday and Thursday, we curate and send the most gorgeous but very affordable homes across Europe, mainly in the south at the moment, but we'll also probably be looking at the Nordics. And we're going to build that out. So it's going to be a bit more also kind of lifestyle driven. And the thesis here is there are so many towns, villages, areas that are at risk of like kind of extinction. I think it's like 30% of like Italian villages are, because we don't have enough critical mass to support a like self-sustaining society, because the aging population, because of de-ruralization, people moving to the cities, because of lack of jobs. But what we see is that we can absolutely revitalize these communities, that oftentimes the people interested in like the buyer market to revitalize these communities are international or are from other places within Europe or in the world. So we have to kind of cater and message and kind of attract, for example, like people that are living in Belgium or where, I don't know. Let me get my thoughts again. Anyways, yeah, so the thesis is like, we can revitalize a lot of these areas. A lot of these homes need a lot of renovation. We need to educate and also attract an international or like pan-European market to do so. And there's a lot of really awesome other accounts or creators and things about like, how do we create like self-sustaining mini communities? How can we create more ruralization now that we have hybrid and remote work? And yeah, I guess I'm kind of monologuing, but that's my side project with Aaron O'Leary is his name.
Man, that sounds amazing. I love it. So cool. I'm gonna check out the website. I'm gonna sign up to the newsletter. It's super interesting. It's
yeah,
so
thank
cool.
you. I mean, what we're kind of hoping is that the kind of like middle-aged American women find it, because if there's one thing I know with a family of like 10 aunts, it's middle-aged American women, and they love window shopping, and particularly window shopping for homes and holiday homes. And they are also oftentimes the people with the money. But right now our segment is more like early mid-30s, probably people that have a first home, maybe they're having a child, they're realizing that they maybe need to have a larger home, they're looking around in their cities thinking, I can't afford anything in Dublin, I can't afford anything in Amsterdam, I want a different way of life, I want, you know, space, I want to experience another culture. And yeah.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Madeline, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It's been awesome. I could talk to you for hours. You're an amazing company.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Good luck with everything, and see you in
Amsterdam. See you in Amsterdam.